There's nothing quite like getting up in the morning and taking a nice hot shower. I discovered this, or perhaps rediscovered this, today, this very day, when my alarm did not go off, or if it, my phone says it did, but it didn't. No, nobody heard it, so it didn't go off. And luckily, my wife woke me up, like, just in time for me to get up and come to church. And I thought, oh, do I even have time to take a shower? But my hair insisted that I take a shower today, because it was not good. It was not a good situation. And so I took a shower, and I got in, and like it was hot water, and it felt amazing. And I reflected on the times in my life when I've not had hot water that I could count on, that I could trust, that I knew was going to happen. It was remarkable. I mean, we've all been in places, whether it was like you're out camping, or you live in a place that just doesn't have hot water, or you live in a place that has hot water but not enough for your whole family and you're last. Or any number of other situations, or maybe some of y'all lived in places where there wasn't hot water in the first place. Some of y'all been around a while. I reflected this morning on how easy it is to take that for granted. How easy it is to think, oh yeah, I have a house and I have a water heater and I paid for it or whatever, so I have hot water. But think about all that it takes to get that. Think of who invented that plumbing and that water heater and who installed it and who makes sure it keeps working. Now, some of you probably can do all this stuff yourselves, but it ain't me, all right? And the reason I have hot water and can take a nice warm shower and start my day in this wonderful way that, like, you know, you wake up late for church and it's like, daylight savings day, and it's, oh, and there's all these things to be stressed about, but I do not feel stressed, because I just feel fantastic. My whole body is like, yes, this is what it's about. And that experience of, I'm going to go ahead and call it unmerited grace, was the perfect way to start my day today. Dennis is laughing over here, but it's true. Like, I didn't like earn this shower. It was something that I received. And it was something that transformed my disposition, at least. And I think it's a pretty decent metaphor for the grace of God here on a day like this. So we're going to talk today about our second lesson from Ephesians. Some of you were in the huddle meeting on Tuesday night or in Bible study on Wednesday when we already talked about this lesson quite a bit. And so some of you have heard some about it. And I really appreciate the conversations that we had those days. Because this second lesson from Ephesians, it's kind of a big deal. There's a reason it gets paired with John 3:16, which we'll talk about in a minute. So, in this Ephesians one, when I first worked at Bible camp, when I was in college, years and years ago, I think it was the first year that I worked there, this Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 was the theme verse for the whole summer of Bible camp, where the ELCA at that time had an outdoor ministries like department who put together this curriculum for the summer. And so each week was built on this theme verse, and each day had these other theme Bible things and activities and all these things. And it was all based on these words right here. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. These words right here were a really important part of my introduction to Lutheran theology, to how Lutherans understand the Bible. This is the stuff they wanted these kids to know. This was the most important thing, the one thing you're supposed to learn that whole summer. And I learned it, and it was important, that it is by grace that we have been saved. Not my own doing, but the gift of God. This vital, important understanding of how it works is the most concise version of this that we get maybe anywhere in the scriptures, just saying it's the grace of God, that's what does it. It's not what we do, it's what God does for us. And that's what we talk about all the time, pretty much every Sunday here when we get together in our churches, not just the Lutheran churches, but all of them. Now, this Ephesians lesson is paired, of course, today with John 3:16, a much more famous and popular verse, right? For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believed in him may not perish but have eternal life, right? We all know this one. And when we talked about it, I think it was Bible study this week. It was Bible study, and it was Larry who very helpfully said, you know, he's always wondered about this, like how much belief is enough belief? Because it's for those who believe, right? That all who believe in him may have eternal life. Well, how much belief is enough? And that's a thing that you can worry about. When you read John 3:16, and when you go beyond that, it says, you know, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. But then it goes on to say all these other things about those who believe and those who don't believe and the darkness and the light. And it gets a little fuzzy in there about how all of this works. And it does give the impression that our belief is a vital component, and that we have to bring our belief and a sufficient amount of belief to this equation in order for it to work. That's why the lectionary creators, in their wisdom, which is not always that wise, but it often is, you know, because it's a lot of people over many, many years putting this stuff together and saying, how do we understand the scriptures better? That's what the lectionary is. I really appreciate it. It's very helpful yet again today, because they put it with this Ephesians lesson so that we remember that the grace of God is how this works. And when we read John 3:16, we can focus on the important part. For God so loved the world that God gave his only son. That's the interpretation. That's scripture interpreting scripture. That's putting these things together so that we don't focus on the belief part, which is, it's not that it's not important, but it's that the grace of God is what makes all of this work. Even our own belief, even our own faith is a gift from God. That's how it works. So we don't have to get hung up on our own belief or our own merit or whatever we do, if believing is a thing that you do. But instead we can focus on what really matters, which is that God loves us so much, that God did this unfathomable thing, this immeasurable riches of God's grace it talks about in Ephesians. And somebody in Bible study also pointed out that word, immeasurable. The power of, it's immeasurable, it's unending. It's uncontainable, this grace of God. It's overwhelming. It's so much that whatever equation our belief comes in, whatever number you put your own belief or your own faith at, the grace of God is the number infinity, and so it doesn't even compare. Math theology. Math is the best. Because the math always works. Because God is infinity. And whatever we have just doesn't even match up. It doesn't even compute. It doesn't factor into the equation in a meaningful way. You know? If I tell my kid about this later, he loves math. He's probably questionable about all this churchy stuff, but he does love math. So the other thing I want to talk about with this lesson from Ephesians is the structure from verses 1 through verse 10. It begins, "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived." That's the beginning of this thing. And then it goes on and it says, I don't know, the sentences go on and on in Ephesians. It's a whole deal. But you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived. This passage begins with death. It begins, I mean, it's a metaphorical death, obviously. This is not literal death. This is the metaphorical death of being, of existing outside of the grace of God, of existing without knowledge of the grace of God, of existing, I mean, living, obviously, but I'm using the word existing to point out the difference. In sin, in trespass, in ill relations with God and with one another. It's not a way to live, you know? And this passage ends, then, with the word life. And it ends with, "For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." And so the death of sin and the death of hurting one another and the death of being separated from one another and being separated from God is contrasted very clearly right here in the structure of this scriptural lesson with life and with the good works, the doing good for one another and for God that God has, that is the life that God wants for us. That's the life that grace affords us. It's a life of good works. It's a life of loving and serving God and one another, as we often phrase it. It's the life of caring for other people. Because we don't need to worry about ourselves and our own eternal salvation. We don't need to existential angst I mean, there's always going to be a little existential angst, I think, is a good thing. But you don't get caught up in that. You don't dwell in that. That's not the end of our story. The end of our story is life. And the end of our story is love. And the end of our story is the grace of God that sets us free to live a life of love and care for one another. That's the idea. That's the whole point here. That's why God loves us so much. So that we can be free to do those things, to live that life. The life that truly is life. Not a life of just going through the motions, not a life of being scared and looking over your shoulder, not a life of worrying about every little thing, but a life of gratefulness. A life of gratefulness for what God has done for us. And a life of sharing that grace, that gratefulness, with others, sharing of the abundance of what God has given us with those around us. The reason I started talking about taking a shower in this sermon today is not just because it was awesome, although it was, and probably a lot of you haven't taken a shower, because why would you? It's Sunday morning, there's a pandemic, you're not going anywhere. But maybe give it a try. It's really made my day today. Give it a shot. The reason I talked about it is because it's so easy to take it for granted. You know, it's so easy to like, oh, can I hurry this up? I got things to do. I got important things to do. I'm only doing this as a means to get to the next thing. And like I said, I take it for granted. And today, for some reason, I didn't. For some reason, I actually experienced the warm, ooh, my hair is better, and I got to shave my face, and I'm all fresh and clean, and I smell half decent, and oh, I'm just thrilled about it. The grace of God is obviously so much more important than my taking a stupid shower, right? But the grace of God is also something that we take for granted. It's so easy to just go through your day and not remember what God has done for us, and to not remember why we do the things we do. I know in these times it's hard to live out our faith, to be faithful, to know what it looks like to follow Jesus, because it's still caring for other people, but you can't do that in the way you used to. And it's still loving and serving your neighbor. But again, it's a little tricky to serve your neighbor right now. Sometimes we're loving and serving our neighbors by staying home and wearing a mask and all these weird things we hadn't even heard about until a year ago this week. This was like 1 year ago. Basically, this weekend was the beginning of all of this pandemic. That's how long it's been. And I know a lot of people are experiencing that as a weight. And as a feeling of ill, you know, I've certainly had times even this week again where it just make it stop. You know, I just want to, and the weather has helped a little bit. I'm getting to go outside. I got to take my kids outside the last couple of days, and it's been really nice to experience that, at the very least, one small bit of grace for us. But here's the thing. This pandemic, this isolation, this living in fear of this virus, this is going to, I don't know that it's all going to be over soon. I mean, we're going to live with this virus for a long time, forever in some sense. But the worry and the fear and the isolation are starting to lift, are starting to go away. And so I would implore you all to stay vigilant for these last weeks. It really sounds like these are the last weeks where we're going to have to be apart. But the vaccines are coming out, and I encourage you to get the vaccine. And we're probably going to still be wearing masks after that. But eventually, we're going to be back together in person. And eventually, the church, it's never going to be the same as it was before this. That's not going to happen. It's never going to be the same. But it's going to grow into a new and better thing. And we'll appreciate what we have in our gathering in a way that maybe we haven't ever before. We'll appreciate the grace that God gives us in one another, in our presence, in our community, in the relationships that we have. That's the grace of God. That's what we have to look forward to. So stay vigilant. Stay home just a little bit longer. Make sure everybody gets safe and healthy, and we will move through this. And when we have that experience of getting back together, in the middle of all the crying, because I assume there's going to be multiple cryings through that first time we get back together in person. I'm just talking about for me, by the way. Probably you too, but definitely for me. We'll remember and be grateful for what we've been given. And let us use that thankfulness to spur our action, to shape our lives, to allow us to share our values and live lives of faith, loving and serving God and one another. Amen. Now we continue with our next hymn, which is number 330, Seed That in Earth is Dying. And again, the words are going to be on the screen, but the music will not. So if you want to read the notes, you can look in your hymnal.